Good
Talk to you.
evening and officially welcome to the Peace Alliance Monthly Action Call for June 2019. My name is Dan Kahn. I'm the National Field Coordinator, and it's a pleasure to be with you this evening. I'm going to go over the agenda, and then I'm going to sort of briefly introduce our two special guests for tonight. After they have a chance to talk for a little while, there'll be a chance for question and answer and discussion with them, and then we're going to review our monthly action. Anyone who has registered for the call more than an hour ago should have received our action sheet in your email inbox. So you can go ahead and look for that now if you want to. It'd be an email from me, from dan@peacealliance.org, and there should be a link to the action sheet, which we'll be discussing a little bit later in the call. So sometime in the first half hour, maybe you can get that action sheet. So after that review of the action, we're going to hear from Nancy Merritt and an update on the Department of Peacebuilding campaign. And then we'll have a chance for more shares and updates from the field, anything that's going on in your neck of the woods, in your campaign work or community organizing work, anything that's happening in your neighborhood or your congressional district. We'd love to hear from you. That's the plan. Before I introduce our guests, I wanted to say a few words about part of why this is so important to me. Before I do that, I'm going to mute everybody because there's a little bit of background noise going on, and I'll sort of unmute people selectively when it's time. So, there we go. Everybody's muted except for me. So why is this so important to me? I'm going to ask you to think about what are the most important natural resources that we have access to. And I would suggest that not far behind water, I think water is probably really high on the list, and air and those kinds of things, a really key natural resource is a sense of grounded hope, a sense of possibility that's based on some clear thinking, some observations. And that's something that I've really received from my work, from my years of working with the Peace Alliance. Working with the Peace Alliance has connected me with awareness of social emotional learning tools that can go into school functions and within a school environment can reduce bullying, can increase test scores, can reduce violence in classrooms. The Peace Alliance work has introduced me to restorative justice practices, which reduces recidivism rates from like 60% down to 10%. And that means less crime. That means more contribution in communities. That means tremendous cost savings. So these are peace building practices that are highly practical. And the Peace Alliance work has also introduced me to this network of thousands of people who are willing to advocate for these tools, who are willing to build relationship with their members of Congress, build relationship with editors of local newspapers to share the news and to share the political will to implement these tools, implement these programs. So again, I just say this is one of the most important resources that we have is a grounded, well-founded sense of hope and possibility that can motivate us to make these changes, make these improvements in the world. And this connection has given me that. So I thank you all for being a part of that. I thank you for joining on this call and for anything and everything that you've been doing through your own awareness, through sharing information, or through seemingly endless campaigning that a lot of you have done to develop those conversations and relationships and awareness of what's possible. So that's my inspirational spiel. Thanks and welcome. I'm going to just tell you a little bit about one of our special guests, Sarah Brown. Sarah has done some amazing work with active duty soldiers and veterans over some years. She founded an organization which brings some deep healing into the lives, into the minds and hearts and souls of soldiers. I'm going to leave it to our friend Joel Kimmel to get into more of the details of that. But I'm really happy to have Sarah with us. So what we're going to have is sort of a conversation between Sarah and Joel. Now, Joel Kimmel is a military veteran. He's a world-class athlete. He's a recipient of the Presidential Call to Service Award. He's a highly accomplished coach and speaker professionally. He's the author of a book called Self, The Vast World Beyond Your Words. And that's based partly on his expertise in ontology, the study of being. And what his bio won't tell you is he's probably been one of the most important supporters of the Peace Alliance throughout its existence, because he is the husband and life partner of our dearly beloved Judy Kimmel, who is one of our board presidents. So Jill has served a key supportive role in the well-being of our organization over this time. So let's see how gracefully I can unmute Joel, who's going to give a more detailed introduction of Sarah, and then Sarah, and I'll turn this over to the two of them. Welcome, and thank you both, Joel and Sarah.
Thank you, Dan, and welcome, everyone. It's a gift to be here. As Dan said, I happened to be sitting next to Judy when she got involved with the Peace Alliance, and I don't know how many years ago that's been. I've been a peripheral listener to about every monthly call that they've ever had, and have been at very diverse different meetings. My biggest claim to fame was I was Dennis Kucinich's bodyguard when he was running for president, and I sang that song from Bodyguard that what's her name sang. But we could go into that story. It was very cute. He said, "What are you singing that song for?" And I said, "Cuz I'm your bodyguard." And he says, "Would you go just check out the bathroom to make sure they're clear?" Oh, sure, potential president. So anyway, we've been around. I think what I've gotten out of being around the Peace Alliance is the amazing ability individuals make a difference in this world just by saying they can and being willing to see how it shows up for them. It's not a significant, I'm waving the flag, we need to save the world. It's like, let me do my best to make the contribution where we can be, find ourselves to be worthy. And Sarah Brown, for me, I get a little choked up, is probably one of the most powerful, courageous women I've ever met on this earth. I met her when she was going to college with my daughter, Emily Kimmel. And she came, I do this this conversation with people about how we got to this moment in life linguistically, not psychologically. And it's very transformational, people say. And Sarah came and did it. And I'll never forget when we did it, because Sarah said, "I'm going to take this and put it in my program." And here we are, 2,500 soldiers have been through Sarah's program, which she started after that, called Soldiers 360, which was quite profound, because soldiers were coming out of Afghanistan through Germany. And Sarah was there with her husband, who was stationed in Germany, and these soldiers had to spend 2 weeks getting acclimatized to being back in the United States. And I know from me getting back from Vietnam, that wasn't a very nice experience. But Sarah saw the opportunity and started doing what she's done with that. She's Soldiers 360 has been taken over, not taken over, but has been supported by the in the USO organization. I have a friend who's a retired three-star general that Sarah worked with and changed the whole. He said it's the most powerful program the Navy and the Air Force have ever had for their soldiers and their returning vets. So with that, I'm going to turn it over with Sarah, because I think she started a new program after the Soldiers 360 has sort of got its own life of its own. And I turn it over there. And then Sarah, the question I have is, what have you found most rewarding out of doing that work? And what do you see works best for people that are involved in that work with you?
Thank you, Joel. And thank you for that wonderful, wonderful introduction. And hello, everyone. I'm thrilled to be here and to share a little bit with you about what I'm passionate about, and that is healing our military. This whole idea of peace and the fact that individuals can have a huge impact is something I firmly believe, and I also believe that peace starts within each and every one of us. As Joel mentioned, in 2010, a general tasked three of us to create a program. And his goal was, too many soldiers are not just getting post-traumatic stress. Too many soldiers are losing their relationships. Too many soldiers are developing drinking problems. Too many soldiers are, and we're treating the problem. If there's a marriage issue, we put them in marriage counseling. If there's a drinking issue, we put them in drinking, but we're not going back further and saying, why did this happen in the first place? One of the people this general brought in, he brought in me. He brought in a neuropsychologist from Chicago, who was a retired Catholic priest. And we said, we want to look at everything and we want to look at it across all modalities. We brought in acupuncture, yoga. We brought in the spouses for a day and we gave them tools that they could use in their relationships. We brought in parenting experts. We did art therapy. We talked about childhood and war and the future. And we brought all of this together, hypnosis. And the whole idea was we're going to embed with these soldiers for 2 weeks. And then later on, we shifted to 5 days. We are going to be with them from 6 o'clock in the morning until 9 o'clock at night. We are going to give them this immersive experience with the hopes that not what works for me would work for you, but out of all of these things we're giving you, you're going to be able to use some of it. As Joel said, I did this work. We reached 2,500 soldiers, and that was with only 45 soldiers in each iteration. We never did more than 45. I did this work full time for 5 years. And the question we always had was, how do we scale? How do we reach more soldiers? And we decided, this is when I broke away from Soldier 360 and created my own program called Reset, that is supported by local USO chapters. They bring in volunteers, and then I do trainings and quality control. And the whole idea is I, Sarah Brown, can only reach this many people, but if we can train people in local chapters who want to be part of this healing work, then we can reach even more. And we can also kind of create a support system. So I think, Joel, the biggest gift for anybody that experiences this work, including your mind-blowing riff, is that they leave with that hope, Dan. You talked about that at the very top of the hour. If we can give people the tools and the practices, some of them don't even know where to go after coming home from these experiences. So it's about giving them hope and giving them a place to jump off for the rest of their lives.
Sarah, that's great. I also do work with soldiers. I got caught in with Sarah. I didn't get to the magnitude she did. But I also want to acknowledge Sarah because of the emotional aspect of that it takes with these guys and these women that have come back. I've seen stuff that we would never even imagine could happen to people. And yet they have chosen to give their service to our country for a purpose greater than I think we know. And I think one of the things that is important to know for us as individuals, that how to support the soldiers and the veterans is I don't think people know that when a soldier signs his name on the line to go into the military, that he is willing to give his life for this country. But there's no question that when you're in the military, you're aware of that because you could be called on any time. And when we were talking yesterday, it's like the little things that let soldiers know you care. You know, it's like when I see soldiers, I do my best to say thank you. Excuse me. Not that it's emotional, but it gets a little emotional. I just thank them for their service, but also their commitment to the well-being of our people in our country and what they have brought and the opportunity they have to be proud of. And I think it's little things like that that sort of give them a leg up, that they know that they've done something worthy to be proud of, rather than wondering if they did. Sarah, anything to add to that? Or?
I think it's important to not be in to express our gratitude to also see them not just as soldiers, but as humans. So just to actually, I think one of the greatest gifts we can do is we can look them in the eyes and we can say, thank you. How are you? Do you need anything? Do you need anything from me? I know a lot of soldiers feel like they're looked at in a different way because they're a soldier, because they're a Marine. And so sometimes just seeing them, not necessarily thanking them, but also checking in with them as a human. Because sometimes they don't get that connection.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. The other simple thing for me is when I see a soldier and someone says, welcome home, soldier, it really lets you realize that you're back home in a land to be proud of, and that people recognize that you, the courage that you have, like that. So Sarah, anything more about RESET and how that works, or other organizations that you think are worthy for people to support as we move forward?
Yeah. And I think Dan's going to dive a little bit deeper into this, but a couple of the organizations that I'm really excited about and excited to share is one, especially Team Rubicon, which is, it is a veteran-based organization where they do mini deployments, and they're all a conservation rebuilding. So they are right now currently deploying to Florida and to Houston on an ongoing basis to rebuild the homes that were damaged by the hurricane. They right now are doing forest fire prevention and mitigation in Colorado. They do these little missions all over the country. It's bringing veterans together. There's one thing that's interesting, and every veteran that I've ever spoken to says, Sarah, yeah, war is hard to get over, but what I really miss is being with my brothers and sisters in arms and serving something bigger than myself. So the fact that Team Rubicon is taking exactly what veterans are missing, and then they're channeling that energy into peace building, into building homes, into conservation, I think is exactly what I want more of. It, those kinds of organizations that aren't just, my work is important because I'm healing, but they need that ongoing mission. They need that ongoing to be part of something that's bigger than themselves. So Team Rubicon is a big one. Team Red, White, and Blue is an organization. There's local chapters, veteran and civilian run, and it's a way to bring veterans and civilians together in physical fitness. And that really, that grew from veterans often don't feel like they can connect to civilians, and civilians don't feel like they can connect to veterans, because what can we ask? What can't we ask? How do we do this? So Team Red, White, and Blue is this same, this safe space where we can build connections with each other, because we are all humans doing the best that we can. The Veterans Path is another fantastic immersive program for veterans that are coming back and looking for ways to reintegrate. And again, there's, if you look locally, there are lots of amazing programs at local grassroots levels. So I also encourage you to look in your local communities and see what resonates with you.
Yeah, it's really great. And they're in lots of surprising ways. I got, someone introduced me to one of a veteran who has a program on managing PTSD by fly fishing. Mm-hmm. I thought, well, why not do that and worry about things instead of stand there looking to get each other? So there's really a lot of things if you look around. I think I'm working with a soldier who had three tours in Afghanistan. He was a Marine, and his third tour was not great. And it's so amazing that he could barely put two sentences together when he showed up. And now he's grounded, his life's in order. He's moving to home, take care of his parents, building a house so they can live together, and all of that. But the reward, and it's little things that, as Sarah said earlier, it's the little things that make a difference. As Sarah said, Veterans Path is very good. It came out of the San Francisco Zen Center. And I was fortunate enough to spend some time with the leaders of the programs and do our work. And they just are dying to have fun and may have something that they can pass on to each other and the people around them like that. So let me see. Anything else here that you would like people to know or to do for action other than supporting those?
You know, I think the biggest action that I could ask from this group is just an awareness. And an awareness of not only some of the great organizations that are out there, but also an awareness when we think of active duty military, when we think of our veterans, becoming aware of our own reactions. And are we connecting with them as humans, or are we seeing them as more subjectively? And that's something for myself that even though I've done this work for years, I still catch myself putting judgments on a uniform, so for me, it's a call to action for us all and a reminder for me to what is this bringing up for us? And are we, as we are spreading this mission of peace, how are we showing up in these interactions?
Yeah. I'm going to jump in if I can. Thanks you guys. Sorry to cut you off for there, Joel. I want to do two things. One is let people know if you've been madly taking notes about these three organizations, you don't have to. If you haven't looked at your action sheet yet, the action sheet that everybody will have received, as long as you registered for the call at least an hour before the call, you should have an email with this action sheet that's got a link to the website of all three of those organizations that Sarah mentioned, Team Rubicon, the Veterans Path that Joel was also talking about, and Team Red, White, and Blue. And just a preview of the action, we're asking you to do just really what Sarah was saying, to check out these websites, raise your awareness about some of these projects, and as a second step, help to spread the word. So you can do that by sharing on social media and or consider writing a letter to the editor of your local paper about this. We'll get more into that as we get into the action training part of our call. But I want to open up the possibility of discussion. If people have questions or comment or anything you've heard so far, you can go to the menu. If you're looking at the app on your laptop or on your phone, you should at least have a menu that would allow you to raise your hand. I'll look for a raised hand. And if you're on the phone, you can press *9, and that equates to a raised hand. So anybody that has a question for Sarah or Joel about anything that they've been talking about can find that hand raise command. Judy is raising her physical hand, so there, your mic is live.
I'm so terrible. I just want Sarah, because I've spent some time with her a week or so ago, to talk a little bit more about families and the impact that our 17-year war in the Mideast has had, not only on our veterans and soldiers that are being asked continually to go back, to redeploy, et cetera, which is one huge conversation, but then again, also the impact on the families.
Yeah, thank you, Judy. If we are looking at our frontline infantrymen, they are what we would call professional soldiers. Infantry, armor, and engineer, over the past 15 years, 16 years, have been on a 1 year deployed, 1 year home, 1 year deployed, 1 year home, 1 year deployed. So we have a decent amount of the soldiers that I have worked with have spent 8 or 9 years out of the past 16 away from their families. Now, so that 1 year home, they're not truly home because they are out in the field prepping and training for that next deployment, for that next mission. Now, our infantry, our armor, those are, if we look at the scale of our military, those are, that represents 45,000 of our service members in our U.S. Army. The other 400,000, their what we call cycle is not as fast or as extreme. And so lots of us will know people and they'll say, oh, you did a deployment once every 4 years. And that's true, but there are 42,000 soldiers that are deploying at the pace I just talked about. It is almost impossible to maintain a relationship and a family with that kind of cycle. So Judy, what we see with those, and those are also the guys, they're not in support roles, so they're also experiencing more trauma while in combat. So we have kind of a double-edged sword. They're experiencing more trauma, which impacts their ability to have relationships. And then just the fact that they are gone, we, in the past 16 years, we have just seen divorce rates, affairs, relationship satisfaction. We've seen those things skyrocket and relationship satisfaction really plummet in those, if we look at engineers, armor, and infantry. So it's really important to acknowledge what can we do for those families? And what are they going through?
Thanks, guys. Yeah, I see Peter raising your hand, and I also saw there was another hand up from a phone caller. It's area code 907. I'm going to unmute you. I won't call out the rest of your phone number. Go ahead.
That's me in June, Alaska, on a bus. John Solman. Sorry for the background noise, but I just wanted to suggest better therapy rather than fly fishing might be neural feedback. It's related to PTSD. If you can find it, someone who offers it.
I think you're spot on, and in our program we actually use small biofeedback machines. We have the soldiers use that over 5 days, but you're absolutely right. That is mind can be absolutely life-changing tool for a lot of people.
Neurofeedback.
Yep, neurofeedback.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your ride.
Right.
Okay, Peter, let me unmute you. Go ahead. Oh, wait, you're still muted?
There we go.
Yep.
Hi, I was wondering how... Can you hear me okay, by the way? Okay, I was wondering how... all of you, but I guess I'll direct my question specifically to Joel and Sarah, how you take care of yourself in this work. I know in my experience, processing, working with people who are suffering from trauma, you know, you have to take care of yourself. It could be a lot. And I was wondering if you could speak to that.
I'll speak for myself, but Sarah's got the award. Because she's been in it for so long. I was doing some co-leading a thing with a Qigong master. And I asked him at a break, I said, so all of this keeps coming at you all the time, keeps coming at you. What do you do? And he said, Joel, you let it go by. I said, can't be that easy. And he said, yeah. He says, let the energy go by. Don't absorb it. And it'll dissipate. Because I spent most of my time trying to digest that pain and try to pull it away from the other person. And I found out that it was, I think, much more grueling that way than being able to listen in a way that they see they've been heard, and then all of a sudden they see an opening to have the next conversation. That's my suggestion. Sarah?
You know, Peter... How do I take care of myself? And if I'm really honest with you, very, very poorly at times. What I have learned is to utilize the exact tools that I give the soldiers. I am passionate about a gratitude journal, which every day I write down three things I'm grateful for. I stay in the present moment. I have to physically say to myself out loud, Sarah, this isn't for you to take on. I began a practice that actually really helped, where I would spend a few minutes and I would visualize a bubble around me, a shield. And I would almost, Joel, to kind of piggyback offering over what you're saying, but I would see the things happening. I would see words being said and I would say they're going to bounce off of that. So that space where you can be empathetic, you can be in there with, whether it's a client, whether it's a friend, and then also just knowing what those boundaries are. But Peter, I speak to caregivers about this same thing, and it's something I still struggle with. Mm-hmm. And I think all empaths struggle with. It's a journey.
Yeah. With you, Sarah. Well said. Thank you. Yeah. I think there's a way to listen that allows the other person to experience being heard. And I think starts to disengage a lot of it. And it's not listening for if what they're saying or what's right or wrong, but what you can see them shifting around in the background of their story. Mm-hmm. And when that sort of starts to take place, all of a sudden they move differently. One of the practices I use with people is for two different types of questions we ask in our world. One is, what do you think you should do about X? Well, when you ask someone about what do you think they should do about X, a trillion ideas come up and not one makes sense in the moment. So they make a stab at it. And the other thing that does is it draws their awareness into the past, because that's the only place they can look on how it worked in the last time someone asked. So that's one set of questions. And most of the time when you ask that, it gives you a sense of what their logic system is. But then if you ask them, so Sarah, how do you see it would look for you when your life is in balance and things are moving in a flow with you? What does that look like? Tell me what that looks like. And what happens when you ask what we call a vision question? It allows their awareness to go into the future and their eyes go up. Sarah, you're so cute. Their eyes go up because they're looking into the future. And the past isn't present, and almost everything they can tell you, they can see, their body will do it with them or give it its best shot because it's not dealing with the past. So vision questions are, what will it look like? How do you see this could come together? How do you see the two of us could get together in a way that we could unite in a vision that would support both of us? Those types of vision questions are magical vision questions. And they're all within our tongues. And I think with our political situation and the divide in our country, asking people vision questions is a great way to start healing that separate divide, because they start to look at a different world than who's at fault in the thinking question. So that's another practice I do my best to do when I'm with my people and myself.
Oh. This seems like a good time for me to remind folks that if you're hearing stuff you think could be valuable for yourself later on or for other folks in your life, this call is being recorded, and everybody registered for this call will receive a link to the recording, so you can share it, you can download it and save it. It'll be available on our website further on down the road. I am just going to sort of bring your attention to the bottom of the action sheet. For those of you who have already downloaded it, who are looking at it, it says basically what we've said already about these three entities that Sarah and Joel mentioned, about Team Rubicon, the Veterans Path, and Team Red, White, and Blue. And at the bottom of the sheet, it says, our request to you this month is to learn about these initiatives and share what you learn. Share news of the promising, proactive healing work being done to build peace and well-being. So this is our project for this month. And we'll have time later in the call during our sort of field chairs. If people have more questions or want to have more discussion about this, we can get more into it. For now, I want to thank Joel and Sarah for spending this time with us. We're going to move into some other sections of the call. If you have other places to be, we totally understand. And we're really grateful for the time you've spent with us. If you want to stick around, you're welcome to. You're certainly welcome. But I really appreciated having you both with us. Joel, as the person who was sort of our ambassador to Sarah, if you want to say any final words of thanks and farewell, you're invited to do that.
Well, I have said it. Others' words don't capture what Sarah's commitment is. It's so obvious when we watch her here and what she's up to in the world. And just a little bit of that in all of us to let it out when we can will make a big difference in the world. You know, we were talking on our call before. I think if everybody can just take one action they can promise themselves to take, starts the faucet to let more actions come out of the fountain. And I think that's really the recommendation that I have, and I think Sarah has, and Dan, you as well. We don't have to solve everything at once. Just do one thing that we feel proud of and that we can continue to do just because we said so. That's what I say. And Sarah, I love you. Thank you very much. We have to get together again.
Absolutely. Thank you, everybody. And thank you, everyone, for being on this call.
Thanks, Sarah. Wonderful. So next on our agenda, moving right along, we're going to hear an update from Nancy Merritt on the Department of Peacebuilding campaign. And just to give folks a little bit of context, the Peace Alliance was founded around one legislative priority initially back in 2004, the creation of a United States Department of Peace. Since then, that campaign and that initiative has changed to be called the U.S. Department of Peacebuilding. There's a bill in Congress right now. It's got 24 co-sponsors in the House of Representatives, a bill to create a U.S. Department of Peacebuilding. It would research and articulate and advocate the best available tools for resolving conflict, for enhancing cooperation, and for reducing violence in all areas of society. And the Peace Alliance has had an ongoing campaign that is sort of semi-independent. It does a lot of things on its own initiative, which is wonderful. And Nancy is our council lead for the cornerstone of this Department of Peacebuilding campaign. Nancy, I think you are both on your computer and on your phone, so I'm looking for how I unmute you. Is that you?
Okay, it says I'm unmuted. Is that right?
You're there. Welcome aboard.
Okay. Well, thanks. Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Joel and Sarah. That was awesome. It was really nice hearing about the work you're doing. I just wanted to add a quick thing about when I heard about this call and the topic. I was very excited. The Veterans Caucus in the California Democratic Party has been one of our staunchest supporters, and we were just at the Democratic Party convention in San Francisco, and the Veterans Caucus opened their meeting with chanting, "No more war, no more war, we know what war means." And you all do too, for sure, and thank you for your work on that. As Dan said, we have 24 co-sponsors right now of the Department of Peacebuilding bill. I think since the last time we talked, we've added 5 new co-sponsors, and at least 3 of those are a direct result of our Mother's Day pie meetings, which are still actually going on. So if any of you have done any Mother's Day pie meetings, advocating for peace, wanting a piece of the federal budget pie, let me know and send me any pictures, and we'll be getting a report out about that. But Hank Johnson from Georgia and Juan Vargas from Southern California, San Diego, signed on right after their pie meetings. And Juan Vargas was a big deal because we've been working on him for years and years, since he's come into Congress, and this is the first time he's ever signed on. So we're really happy about that. And then I wanted to let folks know that we now have a new city that's endorsed the Department of Peacebuilding, which is San Diego. And on the, I think it was May 23rd, they had a celebration declared Peace Building Advocacy Day, and I was able to go down and be part of the celebration down there. San Diego's been working on this for years and years. They've brought together schools and the education community and the human justice community. They've been working on, they've had for years have held Martin Luther King Day events and Mother's Day pie meetings and International Day of Peace events. The kids in particular, Kids for Peace, have been kind of leading the way on this and doing their acts of kindness and gun violence prevention and all of that. And so the city council finally recognized them, and we've added that city to the city. So we now have 46 cities, states, and tribes that endorse Department of Peace Building, representing over 15.8 million people. So we're really encouraged by that. We have a couple of more in the works, and if any of you are interested in working on that, let me know and I can send you some sample resolutions or proclamations. But just really a special shout out to San Diego. Then the California group was at the California Convention in San Francisco a week ago. The good news is that for the fourth time in a row, the California Democratic Party has endorsed the Department of Peace Building legislation. It only endorses about 5 to 7 pieces of national legislation, so it's kind of a big deal. And they endorsed, we've been working on a California Office of Healthy and Safe Communities at the state level, AB 656, they endorsed that. We were able to talk at the convention to talk to a bunch of people who would are potential co-sponsors of either of those bills. I talked with Gavin Newsom, our governor, and he seemed very receptive, and we'll see when it comes to him. There were probably 14 to 15 presidential candidates, and I'll just mention five of them in particular. Marianne Williamson didn't speak at the convention, but she did stop by our booth and said hello, and I think she was able to speak to the Young Democratic Club. Amy Klobuchar was at the booth right next to us, and she seems like a really nice, a genuine, funny person. Bernie Sanders is the perennial favorite of California Democrats. He was there. And Elizabeth Warren, I think, gave the best, most rousing speech. So she was very well accepted. And Kamala Harris, who is our California person, senator, gave a really good speech. She had a lot of supporters there and called it Kamala Country. So that was good. We also supported four resolutions that passed. Just to not let you know, the California Democratic Party had almost 200 resolutions that it was looking at. It was incredible. It was just like, that's a lot of resolutions. So we had that. We talked to a lot of people. We added some organizations. We got some organization co-sponsors while we were there. Talked to a lot of grassroots folks, and all that good stuff. So it was a good experience. And then last but not least, on the national level, we have posted on the website a Save the Date flyer for Advocacy Days in September in Washington, D.C. And I think it's maybe been posted on our social media, too. I'm not sure. Anyway, you can go on the website and then click on Department of Peace Building and then click on something about register now, early bird rates. So we would love to have as many folks as possible join us. We'll be in Washington basically Sunday the 22nd, and then the next Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday will be in the halls of Congress and at meetings with various members of Congress. And it's always a lot of fun and a lot of craziness, and you see and meet a lot of people. So we hope that some of you can join us. So check out the flyer. And I think that's it. Those are our main, the main things that we're up to. So thank you all.
Thank you, Nancy. What? So that's all you did?
Oh, well, I could go into a few more things, but.
All you did was pass four resolutions onto the, I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing how much you and your team get done.
We do. Oh, just a quick thing. We will have folks, you included, and some others at the NACRJ conference coming up in a few days in Denver. And we will also have a booth and some speakers at the National Now conference, which is somewhere in the Midwest. And anyway, so we're trying to touch as many bases as we can.
Thank you. I'm glad you mentioned that. It was on my list to mention, but I think it probably would have slipped my mind. Nancy just mentioned the NACRJ conference coming up in Denver. That's National Association for Community and Restorative Justice. For folks kind of new to restorative justice, I encourage you to Google it. It's a tremendous peace-building phenomenon. This is a national conference that they had their first national conference about 12 years ago, and there were about 150 people. And the next conference, there were about 350. 2 years later, there were about 600. Then 2 years ago in Oakland, they maxed out their capacity of the conference center at 1,300. And then this year in Denver, again, they maxed out the conference capacity at 1,700 people. So the field of community and restorative justice is just growing. Thank God, thank goodness, thank whatever you believe in. We're going to be in Denver. I'll be there, as Nancy mentioned. I think, will Geraldine be there?
Geraldine will be there. Patty, you'll be there, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know if Hart is going or any of
them. Hart will be there. Hart and Jeffrey will be there. There's a pretty good contingent from Florida. My colleague and supervisor, Cindy Bigby, is winning an award for her work with community justice. It should be stupendous, and I encourage folks to think about attending the next one 2 years from now. I think it's in Chicago.
And also, I know folks from the RJOY Restorative Justice for Youth in Oakland will be there too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very exciting. All right. Thanks, Nancy. So I want to say a couple more words about that action, about the action for June, before we go to field shares, which is if you're thinking about writing a letter to the editor, typically it's going to respond to something that's in the paper already. So that's what newspapers like to see, is a letter that talks about something that's in their paper already. So if you see something that's about relief efforts, about wildfires, about hurricane relief, you can respond with a letter that talks about the good work that's being done by Team Rubicon, for example. If you see something about veterans, about the incidence of veteran suicide or PTSD among veterans, you can respond with a letter to the editor that talks about these programs. And when you share information about these proactive programs, you're shedding a light on the cause for hope and a way that people can be active and believe in some movement forward. So it's a really powerful thing. I want to open it up to shares from the field. Anybody that has something going on in your area and want to let us know about it, in your advocacy, in your community, in your neighborhood, in your schools, and you can raise your hand. The number of people that are physically raising their hand makes me think that it's hard to find that hand raising button. So I'm going to unmute everybody and see how the background noise is. And maybe I'll just mute the people where I can see there's background noise. And if you want to share something, or if you have another question about anything that was covered in the rest of the call, anything from Nancy's update, or anything that Joel mentioned, Joel is still with us. So I'm unmuting everybody, and I'll just see how much background noise there is.
Hi, this is Patty here in Salida, Colorado. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Hi, Patty. Thanks.
Hey, yeah, thank you. Wonderful call tonight. Lots of great news, inspiration, and I think it brings us all hope. So I just wanted to mention that, yes, I will be attending the national conference in Denver this week, and I will also be presenting and the topic of my presentation will be Pause for Peace, as in animal pause, enhancing restorative practices with therapy dogs. And I'll be speaking in regards to utilizing our canine companions, specifically certified therapy dogs, to have the inherent anxiety and tension and awkwardness when the victims and offenders actually meet in dialogue by utilizing therapy dogs. It makes it a much more connective and communicative environment. It makes it much easier, I think, for the individuals involved as well as for the facilitators. The dogs work their magic, and I will also be selling my book that I recently had published on under the same name. So, thank you for allowing me to share.
Wonderful stuff, Patty. Thanks for sharing. I look forward to seeing you. And maybe I'll pick up a copy of your book. That's exciting.
A signed copy.
Oh, maybe I'll draw a picture for me. I'll draw a picture of the dog. Or maybe just a paw print.
A paw print. There'll be a paw print.
Paw print.
Perfect. Anybody else?
This is Nancy again. I could add something about California. The Office of Healthy and Safe Communities that we're supporting is basically sort of a domestic California level Department of Peace Building. It's minus, of course, the international components. And it has made its way through the State Assembly, three committees in the State Assembly. It passed the Assembly on the day before the convention. It's now in the California Senate, and it's in basically a budget reconciliation committee, and then will probably be assigned to their public safety committee, and then maybe their health committee, and then go to the full floor if it makes it that far, which we hope it will. And it's based a little bit on Jerry Brown is not Jerry Brown, but Gavin Newsom, our new governor, appointed a Surgeon General for California for the first time ever. And so we want to put this under the auspices of the Surgeon General, who will then appoint somebody to head this office up. And so anyway, we have our local connections with the governor, because he is the person who made possible gay marriage. And Kendra, who's on our team, her moms were the first people to be married under the legislation that that Gavin Newsom supported so long ago. So anyway, and then her mom was on a committee years ago that looked into violence and root causes of violence. And so it's all connected. And so we're hoping that will make the governor even more favorable toward signing this legislation. And I also just want to thank all the California folks who were volunteered at the convention. It was a big, big help for sure.
Terrific. More very exciting news. Thanks, Nancy. Anybody else have something to share with us or a question? I saw Josh was Josh's screen lit up for a second. I got excited. I was going to hear Josh's voice. Going once, going twice. All right, well, we can give you a little bit of change. You invested 56 minutes with us. We'll give you 4 minutes change. Again, I very much appreciate all of you joining us. And you can look for that recording of this call within a few days in your inbox. Any questions that come up, if you're trying to take this action or want to take further action, you're welcome to contact me, dan@peacealliance.org. If you want to do some local organizing, I'm happy to consult with you about it. If you want to talk with someone specifically about the Department of Peacebuilding campaign, you can contact Nancy@peacealliance.org. I know she'll be happy to connect with you. And I'll leave you with a quote, which is one of my favorites, to end these calls, from Eleanor Roosevelt, who said, "The future belongs to those who believe in the beauty of their dreams." And I will leave you with that and unmute everybody if you want to say goodnight to each other. And I wish you all a very pleasant good night.
Thank you, Dan. Good night.
Thank you all.
Good night, everyone.
Thank you.
Good night, everyone.
Appreciate it. Yes.
Thanks,
good night.
Good work.
Night, everyone.
Night.
Bonsoir.
Night.
Bonsoir.
Really inspiring. Just thank you. Good night.
Night, all.